Just behave yourselves and act like men.
Now you start using your head. That's not love. That's 3 feet above your ass.
People will come, Ray.
All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist.
We don't stink right now.
You play ball like a girl.
You're out of here.
There's no crying in baseball.
High fly ball into right field. She is gone.
This is West Coast Bias.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. And broadcast school has really paid off.
The curse is lifted.
This is not a real curse.
This is a real curse.
This is a real personal curse thing.
This is a real curse, sir. Excuse me. I told you that going to the game
has no bearing on the outcome.
And by the way, it does, 100%. Except for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We just got back.
We did just get back, and now we are on the air?
I have great news.
Well, for some.
The curse is lifted. That's pretty great news. In fact, you can probably tell by my hoarse voice, I am not 100%, but I am invigorated as, you know, look, I don't know if where the curse went. It might have gone on your poor, dear, innocent friend who was with us tonight. I apologize. You know what? I don't. I'm sorry, not sorry, because anyway, the curse. For those of you who are not loyal listeners,
if you've never heard of this curse, this is, you know, it's not a real curse. This is just something Adam has made up for himself to sound himself a little bit more important than he really is.
Adam Nelson.
And I am Samuel Paul.
This is indeed West Coast Bias Baseball Podcast. Remember to email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, you can also message us at Facebook.
Get on there.
Yeah.
Show us what you got. Let us know how happy you are about this.
Yeah,
Just weight of dread lifted off of me. The curse, I will elaborate.
What is this curse of which you speak? Let our listeners know what it is, because I don't think this is a real curse.
I am an innocent man. I am in exile. Consider me Moses, okay? I am a better-looking Moses, all right, for all of you out there. I am wandering lost in the desert of San Francisco, which, by the way, probably will be a desert pretty soon with the lack of water. But I am wandering around, and I go to games up here at least twice a year. Almost exclusively only when the Dodgers are there. Although I went to a Nationals game earlier this year against the Giants. Anyway, the curse is, and this started way before 2013, but every single time I go to AT&T Park, I shouldn't say a Dodger game, but I go to see the Dodgers play at AT&T Park. Doesn't matter if Kershaw's pitching. Doesn't matter if there's a no-hitter through eight. Dodgers lose. Dodgers lose every single time. Doesn't matter if we win 106 games. Doesn't matter what. Doesn't matter if we won the division 5 years straight. Doesn't make a difference. If I go, Dodgers lose. So, as is probably clear, I did not want to go this weekend.
Yes, I had an extra ticket to tonight's. This is Friday, September 28th. There are two games now left in the season. This was game number 159, Giants versus Dodgers at AT&T Park. Had an extra ticket. Adam was reluctant to come.
Very, very reluctant.
I did tell you that going to the game, you going to the game has absolutely no bearing on the outcome.
And it turns out I was right. I appreciate your
unfortunately.
Optimism. Well, fortunately, you're right. I do appreciate your optimism. And again, it might have had something to do with the poor innocent soul sitting next to you, who you also brought to the game.
Perhaps, yes.
Who told me that the exact opposite happened to him. The Giants would lose every time he went to a game. And so maybe, again, our juju balanced it out. Or maybe, again, he killed more people in a past life and my karma's slightly better. Either way,
it also could be because I couldn't find a ticket for that fourth ticket.
That's true, and I appreciate that.
It could, you know, if anyone had actually answered our trivia question mm-hmm. this week, it could have been a prize.
Right. So apparently no Giants fans listen to this podcast, and God bless you. God bless you for it. Anyway, the curse is lifted. Hyunjin Ryu versus Madison Bumgarner. A battle of the lefties. Battle of the curveballs. Puig did not start this game. Bellinger did not start this game.
And unlike the last Giants and Dodgers game that took place in L.A., the fight did not happen on the field, but in the stands this time.
And Hundley was starting the game. You're right. But, again, Puig didn't come in until after Bumgarner left. Bumgarner and Puig have... they're not the,
some history.
They're the best of enemies, let's just say. Okay. And then, you know, and then I think Hundley just wants to sort of... He's playing like little brother. He wants to get in the mix and... He wants to try to, you know, help out his battery mate, and that's fine. But Hundley versus Puig, I mean, come on. We already know what's going to happen. Anyway, Dodgers won. The curse is lifted. Again, this is all about me, apparently. It's not anymore.
It's all about
it's
you.
Not anymore. You know what? It's over. I'm a happy man. I thought I was just going to have hours of apologies to all the Dodger fans out there. I told everybody I wasn't going to go. I'm not going to go to this game. I'm not going to go to the series. I'll be in Seattle tomorrow night. I'm going to go to a game that has no bearing on anybody's future, which is nice. But I am going to be scoreboard watching like a maniac. And it's just, look, I'm getting too old for this. This is not how late September baseball has been the last half a decade. It's been pretty easy and sewn up nice and tight around this time of the year. But that's baseball. That's why they play.
That's why they play, and it is exciting. I love a good pennant race, and boy, do we have a couple of really good pennant races. And that's what we're here for you tonight. We're going to keep this episode, or we're going to try to keep this episode nice and short for you and break down the playoff picture as it stands at game 160.
So as the Giants and Dodgers game was unfolding, a different scenario unfolded, and that was the Rockies punching their ticket to the postseason officially.
Yes, congratulations to the Rockies.
Pop the champagne, crack open the beers, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the Rockies are going, and it's actually technically the second time in a row, and I believe that's the only time in their franchise history that they've gone to the postseason 2 years in a row. And now, yeah, look, when we say postseason, I mean last year, come on, it's like... I still don't really like the one-game wild cards unless the Dodgers are in it, and then I'll be like, okay, that's the postseason. But generally speaking, and I'm pretty sure everybody out there understands, because none of us grew up watching this one-game wild card. This is a very new thing, not unlike the division series in itself, I guess. But it still is technically the postseason. Giants are going no matter what. All they have to do is win one,
Rockies.
Two.
I wish Rockies. It was the Giants.
Rockies, oh my God.
I wish it was the Giants.
You see how much they've infiltrated my brain. I'm elated. I'm giddy. I am a happy man. The Rockies have cut their magic number down to two. Dodgers have to win at least one of the next two to make a playoff, to be in the playoffs, to probably be in the wild card. Rockies win two, they win the division outright. They're already leading the Dodgers by one. If the Cardinals play tomorrow against the Cubs at 10 a.m. Pacific time. The Cardinals lose, the Dodgers are in. So Dodgers' magic number is one, but ideally they would like the Rockies to lose one. They can win two. And then if there is a tie at the end of this regular season, the Dodgers and the Rockies will play a one-game playoff on Monday. In Dodger Stadium, luckily. Yeah. So that's... Dodgers do have the better record of the two, which is nice. But it's tough, man. We're scoreboard watching like crazy. Okay, today the Brewers won, right?
Yes, Rockies Brewers won tonight.
Mm-hmm. And the Yankees secured home field advantage.
For that one... playoff game against the A's. The American League postseason picture is pretty much set at this point. We know who's playing and when, and for the most part, where.
Well, so it's definitely A's Yankees wild card in New York, and then whoever wins that plays Boston in Boston. Boston is the number one seed in the American League. They will have home field advantage throughout the entire postseason. And then the Indians in Houston. We already know that for sure. We know it will be Atlanta, Colorado, maybe, we'll see. Dodgers, Milwaukee, we'll see. Winner of that will play the Cubs, blah, blah, blah. The rest is history. Anyway, the Cardinals have to lose tomorrow. So let's make sure that that happens, everybody. And by tomorrow, I mean probably today. You're probably listening to this Saturday morning. Although, who knows? Please wake up. Anyway, Hyunjin Ryu, what did he get? Three double plays? It was amazing. It was a great game. He got out of a lot of jams. Well, one really bad bases loaded jam got out of it. Induced three double plays. He even hit a ball that was about, let's say 6 feet from the wall. Almost went over. It would have been nice. He really took a swing at that ball, and it looked great. You know, I love watching Ruiz swing. He really goes for it. I mean, that's a big boy, too. You know, he's putting a lot of weight behind that.
Yeah, we had a game that featured two pitchers that love to hit.
They do. I mean, look, I'll admit Bumgarner's a better hitter, but Rue came into tonight hitting .293. Now, granted, it's a limited playing time this year. He didn't have a full season. But hey, .293, it's pretty good. It's better than Dozier, at least. Well, yeah, it's better than Dozier's ever hit in his career, I guess. But without the 40 home runs. Anyway, hey, look, it's Rockies are going no matter what. We'll see what happens. Rockies, you know, I don't know if they're definitely not going to have home field if it goes to like a one-game playoff, but and obviously the pitching is questionable, but the Dodgers also won't have Kershaw, so that's tough. Who's going to go Monday? Let's speculate. Like, so who, I mean, Rich Hill could possibly go because Rich Hill is not playing this weekend. We saw Kenta come up today. Maeda came in relief. Alex Wood came in relief today as well. Obviously, we saw Pedro Baez
Alexander.
Scott Alexander. And then, of course, Kenley closing it out. So, Wood and Maeda are looking like bullpen all the way. So, Monday playoff, what happens? Rue's not going to be ready. It's going to have to be.
Probably be Rich Hill.
It's gonna have to
he's
be
the only
Rich.
One who didn't come in tonight. If he doesn't play for the weekend, then he will probably be that starter in the one-game playoff should the Dodgers make it.
Hopefully that happens. And Rockies have won 8 straight. Can they win 10 straight? Sure they can, but will they?
Well, you know, they're against a Washington Nationals team that is no longer in the hunt.
That is true.
Is facing their last 2 games as they are currently constructed. It is very unlikely that all players on that team will be retained for their services next year.
It's true. This also might be the last time we see Hyunjin Ryu pitch for the Dodgers. Also, his contract's up. Look, they got to go against Max Scherzer. And I have a lot of faith in Scherzer, and he's a competitor. He is not going to let them go. And they got to face Strasburg Saturday, Scherzer Sunday. So that's, I mean,
so
it's pretty tough,
right? But they're also, you know, in Coors Field, which is not very friendly to
that
pitchers for the most part.
That is true.
And the Rockies play very well there.
They do,
and they are peaking right now. They are on a hot streak of hot streaks.
You know what I hope they are?
Since the time that the Rockies played the Dodgers and lost those 3 games, they have been just on fire.
How many times have the Rockies won their division?
In their 25 years of history, they have
26 if you include this year, yeah.
No, this is their 25th season.
Is it their
1993 25th? Was their first season. Mm-hmm. And they have never won their division.
This is the 26th. This will be the 26th.
This is the 26th. So the 25th was last year. Okay.
Right. Because they started.
My math is off. It's late.
People. Exactly. Sorry to cut you off. How many times?
Zero.
Zero.
They have never won the division in their history, and
they won a
this
pennant.
Might be the year they won a pennant. They have won a pennant. They have gone to the World Series. They have not won the division.
Nor have they.
There used to be a time
the postseason.
There was once a time where winning your division and winning a pennant was the same, but this is not that time.
You're out of here.
That's right. You know, it's a different game. And they're going to have to earn this one. And Scherzer's pissed because he thought he was going to be in the postseason. So he's not coming out of that game. If he's got under 100 pitches in the sixth inning, he's not coming out of that. He's going to finish that game.
Unless he's getting lit up.
I don't know, man. I'd like to see the manager that could take out Scherzer when he's angry. Especially the very last game of the season. No fucking way. He's got the entire winter to recover. He's going to throw till his arm comes off, you know. It's going to be fun. It's going to be great. It's going to be in Colorado, you know. It's going to be fun. Everybody's going to be watching that game.
Be a good game to watch.
Anyway, email us at baseballshowpodcast@gmail.com. If you're in the Seattle area tomorrow, come say hello. I'll be at Safeco Field. What am I doing in Safeco Field? I don't know. It's baseball. Who cares? Let's go. I'm going to be there. All right? I'm going to be hanging out with Ichiro. So come up. Say hello. I'll be in the club level, I think 120 or 220.
It'll be the Ken Griffey bobblehead giveaway night as well.
It's actually not a bobblehead. It's one of these weird Japanese toy figurine things that are popular. I don't know what they are. It's supposed to be a collectible thing. I'll be getting there.
We'll take a look when you get back.
You know, we'll take a look, and hopefully the Griff is there. And
I imagine he might be.
You know, maybe he might be taking some BP with.
Hey, that would be cool.
With one Ichiro Suzuki,
that would be a batting practice that I'd like to watch. I'm sure Griff can still knock him out.
I think he can. I'm pretty sure he can. So it'll be John Gray, the Rockies right-hander, facing Steven Strasburg, who has destroyed my fantasy team this year. Thanks a lot, Mr. Strass. Appreciate it. The least you can do is beat the Rockies, okay? You know what? I'll let it all go, Steven. You know what? I will. Until I meet you face-to-face, and then I'm going to have a few words with you. But you know what? The winner in our league deserves it. You'll never hear me say that again, because I never will. And if you repeat it, I'll deny it.
He crushed it this year. There's no doubt about that.
He's killing it. You know who you are, Kizzle. God damn you. Anyway. American League is all sewn up. I feel like we almost don't even have to talk about that. American League is pretty easy to go. But how about MVP?
MVP.
Is it too early? It's not too early.
It's not too early. We can unpack some things about the potential MVP candidates.
I mean, to me, it's easy.
One candidate may end up being our trivia question tonight.
Ooh.
But
We have a trivia question. This is like a shotgun episode that we're doing. Post game, I'm very excited, obviously, as you can probably tell. Yeah. The curse is lifted, by the way, in case you didn't know.
No curse.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you. And I do thank
there
you for that.
Never any curse.
You've never been to a game with me. At least not in SF. Anyway, is there even a debate? Should a DH ever win the MVP unless he gets the Triple Crown? Yes or no?
Well, there's a compelling argument there. I mean, JD, you know what you're talking about.
Obviously,
Mr. Martinez there.
Mr. Martinez,
In Boston. And, you know, he's been killing it all year. He is a big part of the reason why Boston has done so well all year. Big piece of that puzzle. And part of the reason why the Diamondbacks have struggled all year long. And, you know, finding
reasons.
The facts that Lou Gehrig once won the Triple Crown and finished sixth in MVP voting.
He got robbed.
Yeah, perhaps.
He got robbed.
That notwithstanding, the Triple Crown is an incredible achievement, and he is not going to make it this year, but he has a impressive...
Lou? You mean JD?
Oh, well, Lou Lou, I think, is a little bit past his prime at this point. But no, J.D. Martinez is not going to make the Triple Crown this year, despite a very impressive line.
He's not
going
to make it, yeah, because Chris Davis with a K has a lot to say about that.
Yes, he has come on strong, and he's been crushing it. He's at 45. Did he hit one tonight? Do we know?
I don't, you know, the A's were getting shut out by the Angels, and then they put up 5 runs, so we should probably check on that. But I just want to, because you brought up Lou Gehrig, and this is still a thorn in my foot. What's the term? I don't know.
Side?
Something about a craw? I don't know. Anyway, it's been a long night. 1934. Yeah, Lou Gehrig won the American League Triple Crown. He batted 363.
Unbelievable.
He hit 49 jacks. How many RBIs do you think he drove in? This is just ridiculous. This is like video game numbers, right?
I think it's like 200.
Well, okay, it's not that. It's okay. It's 165.
165. Okay.
I mean, the modern era. Have you ever seen that? No, obviously.
No, no one. No one really approaches.
You always see like Nolan Arenado getting like 120, 130, and that's unreal. And you know, maybe JD this year, maybe.
And you know, you consider the shorter season too that Gehrig did that in is also even more impressive. Is not playing 162 games.
Exactly. So, but again, should, and I said yes or no, should a DH ever win the MVP unless he gets the Triple Crown? You said, well, yes or no? Caveats. Okay, no. There are none. The answer is no. He's playing half a game. He's playing half of the goddamn game. No. I'm sorry.
So is that why? So
I'm sorry.
Not sorry. So look, being a most valuable player, if he wasn't in that lineup,
yeah.
What's JD Martinez's WAR? I mean, how many? You know,
it's not as high as Mookie's. And look, Mookie leads all of the MLB with a 10.1 WAR right now. There is an argument that could be made that JD in that lineup, hitting after Mookie makes Mookie better, sure.
Yeah. 100%. Well, that happened with Bonds and Kent all day long.
Exactly. But Kent was never in MVP discussion. Okay.
He was.
Was he putting up 10.1 WAR?
Well, I'm not sure what his WAR numbers were because it was in the days before WAR became powerful
math
stat.
Math still existed, but, and you could go back and look at Kent's WAR. But anyway, he's leading in slugging, batting average, runs. He's 32 jacks, 30 stolen bases. Makes him only the second 30-30 player in Red Sox history. Look, I'm not taking anything away from JD. The guy's a beast. In fact, he's probably the dirtiest hitter in the game right now, honestly. He probably is. When you really need a hit, when you need an extra base hit, let's say, yeah, you're going to want that guy up there. But is he the most valuable player? It's not the most valuable hitter. Let him win the Silver Slugger. I don't, you know, whatever. That's sure. But the most valuable player? That's what wins above replacement is all about. And Mookie Betts probably should have won 3 years ago against Trout. He had better numbers than Trout. Either way.
Well, he'll probably win this year. I mean, the answer is yes. I would say you vote for DH for MVP, even if he doesn't hit the Triple Crown, but only if he's not, you know, only if he really is the best player on his team.
He's not, though.
And this year, his teammate
is
better.
And let's not forget about Jose Ramirez. Let's not forget about Mike Trout. I mean, Mike Trout.
Well, the aforementioned Chris Davis with a K.
Well, look, he's great, and he's a great power hitter. But no, he's not. He's not an MVP. Definitely not. But Trout is, and Trout. He's on pace to finish with a 10-plus WAR for the third time in his career. Only Babe Ruth, Willie Mays, and Rogers Hornsby have accomplished that. And by the way, Babe Ruth did it 9 times. Like, that's just ridiculous. That's insane. It's unheard of.
Wow.
But look, JD is the 11th Red Sox player to hit 40 home runs in a single season. He could become the 9th with 125 RBIs. David Ortiz did it just 2 years ago, though. You know what I mean? So it's like, and look, David Ortiz, 2016, had a great season, but MVP? No, I'm sorry. JD's great, man. I love JD. I'd love to have him on the Dodgers. He'd be insane. He hit four jacks in Dodger Stadium last year. I mean, all opposite, put like sides of the park, left field, right field, two to center. It was unbelievable. The guy is a beast, 100%. Is he the most valuable player? No, because he doesn't play the whole game. He sits on the, he's riding the pine half the game.
And he's not even the best player on his team.
Exactly. So that's it. Okay, National League, though. Now, this is a little bit more exciting because we have a guy that's sort of playing old school ball that I think has risen above everybody else. And that's, of course, Christian Yelich. Kind of, I don't want to say he came out of nowhere, but that's got to be the best offseason acquisition by any team right there.
Yeah, that was a big move. And that goes a long way to the Brewers' success this year.
Oh, my God. Him and Kane? I mean, both of them were acquired. They're both killing it. I mean, hell, even Kane was in the discussion for a long time. You know, Kane was in there. He's still getting, like, third place votes by a lot of people. Matt Carpenter, obviously, too. Obviously, Javi Baez, sure. But what Yelich is doing is, I mean, look, he's leading the NL in WAR with 6.9. He's leading the NL in batting average, 321. He's leading in OPS, 978. He's hitting 346 with 7 home runs and 28 RBIs in 23 games this month. That's he pushed it. He made September. The push. He made the push, and his team's going to the postseason. And honestly, I hope they beat the Cubs, but I'd rather see the Cubs get best record, because hopefully maybe the Dodgers get in the wild card and they play the Cubs, because I'm sure the Dodgers can take on the Cubs handily.
You're more worried about the Dodgers playing the Brewers than the Cubs at this point?
Oh, 100%. Look at the Brewers' bullpen. Look at the Brewers' lineup. I mean, the Cubs are like 26th in all of baseball in batting average, in runs scored in the month of September. Their offense is going downhill quick. Chris Bryant. Is that his name? See? He doesn't even play anymore. They're all down, man. I'm not worried about the Cubs at all. The Cubs don't have the sustaining power and the drive, I think, that the Brewers have. And plus, the Brewers have Euchre. So, you know, that's a mascot and a half right there.
It's true. Bob Euchre is definitely a mascot and a half, and he was down in the clubhouse celebrating with the team their playoff berth.
Was he? Oh, he was celebrating. You better believe he was celebrating.
Oh, he was celebrating. Oh, yeah.
I'd love to see the Euchre in
he found in this occasion. He did.
Where's the boots?
Yeah, he found it in the clubhouse that night.
Oh, he found the booze, that's for sure. Anyway, yeah, no, exactly. This is kind of not unlike the sentiment I had last year with the Dodgers getting the best record and then playing a once good team, the Arizona Diamondbacks. In my opinion, the Arizona Diamondbacks last year were the second best team in the National League. The National League West was insane last year, and the Dodgers easily swept Arizona Diamondbacks, so I guess I didn't really have anything to worry about in that sense, but they seemed a lot more powerful than the Cubs, and the Cubs were better last year than they are this year, in my opinion. I might not be correct in that, but I think, again, if you look at the numbers, I'm not wrong. Plus, they're pitching, you know? They don't have Arrieta this year. They definitely don't have Yu Darvish, although maybe that'd be a better thing for other teams if they did, seeing as how he performed in the postseason last year. Too soon.
It's been almost a year, man. You got to get over that.
No, I don't. And come on, Goldschmidt. All right, Goldschmidt's not getting... He always gets votes. But, I mean, since May 25th, right? Since he sort of righted that ship. He's hitting 330. He's got almost 30 doubles, 27 doubles, 27 home runs. Betting over 100 or 1,000 OPS. I mean, anyway, look, it should be Yelich's, and I like seeing guys like that win it because he really grinded it out, you know? He's not a flashy guy. He's going out there, taking his at-bats, playing small ball, winning games. That's the most valuable player right there. That's the guy that brings the team together. And that's what this award should be. Right? I mean, look, I don't care about the postseason. I don't mind them giving it to Trout when the Angels are garbage. Okay. And I know that they do take the postseason into account, which they shouldn't. But they do, and that's okay. Whatever. Yelich is that guy.
Making the postseason should be a factor, but not performance in the postseason. Because the postseason is an entirely different animal.
That's interesting.
Brings out different heroes in every single game. That's not always going to be the same person that carried the team to that place.
That's true. Oh, well, yeah, we see that all the time. We see Edgar Renteria getting World Series MVP with the Giants, right? I mean,
right.
Yeah.
Also with the Giants, Cody Ross.
Cody Ross. Exactly.
Coming out of nowhere and just like blasting the ball over the place in the NLCS. It's postseason is a time for everyone to shine and contribute, because every little bit helps, because the stakes are so high and the series are so short. We're no longer in a 162 game grind. This is a best of seven situations, a best of five situation. This is a one game
best of one situation in some cases, unfortunately. Yeah.
And you get to that game seven, they're all going to be win or go home. So, yeah, getting your team to the postseason should factor into it. Performance in the postseason, not necessarily so.
Oh, 100%.
But you do have to be the most valuable player on your team. You do have to be the best player on your team. Sorry, JD, if you don't make it this year. Better luck next year.
Look, he's going to lead the Red Sox to an American League pennant. They're going to be fine. He's going to be fine.
You're calling it right now. Boston is going to the series this year.
No, you're right. I'm sorry. I misspoke. He's going to lead them to the American League Championship Series, possibly to a Game 7, where they're going to fall very hard to the Oakland Athletics.
Oh. So you're predicting a... 30-year...
1988 revisited? Oh, yeah, baby. You goddamn right I am.
No Kirk Gibson in this game.
That's true. But we do have old man Utley. Okay. And, hey, Ed David Freeze, where the hell did he come from? All right, hey, either way, Mr. October, if there ever was one. Well,
there was.
Well, there was.
There were, in fact, two.
I'm sorry. Don't say Pablo Sandoval. All
right, I'm not going to say Pablo Sandoval. No, I was going to say Derek Jeter. Thank you very much.
Derek Jeter?
I guess he is Mr. November. I'm sorry.
This is getting sloppy.
Yeah, well.
They were gonna at least say like Bumgarner, somebody. I mean, that, you know.
Well, anyway. we're talking about great hitters, not great pitchers, right now.
Well, Mr. October, I'm not picky. Okay. Anyway, yes, no, it's gonna
and
be.
No matter what, you're still not Reggie. I mean, it's.
Mr. Leading all-time strikeouts in baseball history. Yeah, I don't. That's fine.
Well, yeah, now that's in fashion now. All of those strikeouts, right?
It's
more strikeouts this year than any other year.
I don't know if it's in fashion, but it's certainly not frowned upon anymore, I guess. Yeah, unfortunately, it is pretty sad. I don't like it, but
our little opening, strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist.
For minor league ball, I guess that's probably true. But you were maybe it has something to do with the umps. Is that guys are getting frustrated? Do you think?
Well, guys are getting real frustrated. I mean, with the camera work and every pitch being so scrutinized.
Right.
With, you know, with all the camera work, all the camera angles, everyone can see, it seems, except for the ump, where the ball is. There's some great audio of Bob Brenly this week talking about the venerable Joe West.
Mm.
He was getting upset that the cameras in the camera well were hanging over the railing there, and he wanted to push them back. Just past the dugout.
Okay.
He had gone to talk to the cameraman to push the cameras back behind the bar there.
Bob the lens was hanging. The lens was hanging.
The lens just was slightly maybe 2-3 inches over the railing. And Bob Brenly said, masterfully, it's amazing he can see that the camera is an inch over the bar and he misses a strike by 6 feet.
Joe West is getting a little long in the tooth. Okay.
Perhaps, and then we have...
It's a tough job. You yourself, if I'm not mistaken, have umped Little League games.
Yes.
And that's no joke.
I'm not going to say that it isn't a tough job. It is. I know firsthand it is a tough job. I did do some umpiring at the Little League level. Yes.
Yeah. Imagine if a 230-pound behemoth is screaming at you. It's not an easy job.
Yeah, a 12-year-old kid throwing 60 miles an hour is tough enough. You get, you know, a 225-pound, 6'4" big boy throwing, you know, 95 with movement. It's going to be even that much more difficult to really see where it's going. I think we should get these umpires a little bit of help to actually be able to see the ball. The technology...
You see.
We don't have to eliminate the umpires completely from the game, but give them some aid to be able to watch that.
Make them obsolete. That's what you're saying. Make them obsolete.
They're not
obsolete.
Make
them just figurines of ancient past of baseball history. They're tokens. No, that's too far. Look, is there a middle ground there where in between complete digital strike zone and human being? Is there a middle ground?
Well, there probably is, but, you know, if we're going to support the umpires and really being able to track these pitches and track where the strike zone is and be able to manage the game in this game that we have with these, you know, huge, big, fast players that are throwing harder than ever before. You know, the technology exists to be able to augment their view of the strike zone.
Is it possible that we are a victim of our own technology?
It could be.
Do we rely on it too much? Are we giving too much credence to it? If a pitcher establishes a strike zone early in the game and he is a legitimate, well-seasoned pitcher and he continues with that strike zone, and it might not be in the exact Fox stat pitch track BS, shouldn't he get that benefit? If the umpire knows, the batters know, the pitcher knows, hey, he's throwing him a little in today. But he's not throwing him outside at all. That's his strike zone today. Is that terrible? As long as it's consistent, that strike zone is consistent the whole game.
But the rule book defines the strike zone as a particular dimension. And if the ball falls outside of that dimension, per the rule book, that strike zone is wrong.
Right. But these digital strike zones cannot account for guys switching their stance mid at bat, which sometimes they do. Not all of them do. But sometimes they might show, like Joey Votto. Votto starts his at bat standing a little bit more upright. But then if he gets two strikes, he's going to choke up. He's going to scrunch down a little bit. Now his strike zone gets a little bit smaller.
Maybe up versus down. But that doesn't affect the width of the plate at all.
And if
you're talking about on the black versus 3 inches off the black, I use 3 inches because that is the diameter of a baseball. is 3 inches. You know, that's a whole baseball length outside the defined strike zone.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit outside, you know, a half an inch, an inch, that's consistent. Okay, fine. If it's called for both teams, inside, outside, a little bit off the plate, but it's got to be consistent.
Right.
And it's got to be known to both sides. That is where we're calling balls and strikes tonight. But when it wanders beyond that, you know, okay, if it is low and outside, if it's a little low, but over the plate, okay, fine. If it's a little bit out of off the plate, but middle high, fine. But if it's like low and outside, okay, there's no possible way to actually be able to hit that. That's not a strike.
Though. Yeah, nobody's calling that a strike.
But when it shows up on that screen and people look at it, people already disagreeing with the call with their own eyes, and they see that little digital box there, and see.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that permanent box.
Well, you know,
put the box there on replay. Don't put it on in live games.
It got a player in trouble this week. Carlos Gomez was fined $10,000 after criticizing an umpire on Twitter.
What?
Following an ejection from a game.
No.
For arguing balls and strikes.
What?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. Get the fuck. Come on.
No, this was a whole Twitter thing. He was ejected from a game after arguing balls and strikes, and went to the clubhouse and got on Twitter, posted
during the game,
before the game was over. He was out of the shower, sitting in the clubhouse. He posted videos of not only his at bat,
really,
but other players at bats as well, pointing out how far outside the strike zone the umpire was calling that night, and Major League Baseball fined him $10,000. I believe he's appealing.
They fined him or the umpire?
Huh?
They fined him or the umpire?
The player. They
for
fined
what?
For criticizing an umpire. Arguing balls and strikes.
All right, okay,
with
that's,
video evidence.
That's a little much. Look, I'm not... That, and honestly, that seems okay. That almost seems fine to me, right? Like... A trial by public opinion. Okay, the umpires know that. The umpires have been dealing with that since the beginning of baseball. And in fact, it used to be a lot more personal. I mean, most casual fans would know the umpires by name. You ask a casual fan now who's umping tonight, they don't know. They have no idea. Huh. They would talk to them. They'd scream at them. They would, you know, cajole them. They would have meaningful... I mean, there was only like 15 teams back when I'm talking about. But you know what I mean. Like, it was a lot more interactive. It was a lot more engaging. So maybe that's not a bad thing, you know, because if an umpire gets ridiculed long enough, he's probably going to tighten up his strike zone, and maybe that's a good thing. So maybe I don't have a problem with what Carlos Gomez did at all. I mean, in fact, it's whatever, you know, do your thing. It's social media. Who cares? It's only the people that follow you are going to... MLB should have no stake in. That's ridiculous. I know he's a hired hand. He's essentially the property of Major League Baseball, which is insane, but I thought that they got past that a long time ago with Curt Flood and the whole players' unions and everything. I thought that that was the whole reason for all this stuff, is that they need to separate the players from the organization. I guess not. $10,000? That's insane. That's crazy. That's crazy.
That is a little bit crazy.
Unless it's in their contract. Look, maybe it's in their contracts and it says... You can't go on social media. You know, who knows? And
well,
it probably is. That's probably how they were able to do that.
Well, I mean, speaking
like,
of Pablo Sandoval,
ridiculous.
He was fined by his team
for
being on social media during a game.
That's fine. By his team, whatever. That's fine. Each team, look, like Kurt Gibson, when he's a manager, doesn't let guys have facial hair. Okay? He makes them have crew cuts, right? Whatever. If you join a team and they have certain rules, yeah, you got to follow them. But that's different. But if you're talking about Major League Baseball as a whole, that's, to me, that's ridiculous. That's insane. And maybe this is the remedy for getting rid of bad umps, or at least having bad umps tighten up their game without having to go completely ones and zeros,
yeah,
digital strike zone.
People can be called out or call out a particular umpire for making bad calls.
Exactly. If it hurts your feelings, sorry, bro. You know, figure it out. You know, tighten up your game a little bit, you know. And by the way, and this is, I say this with 100% respect. I know these guys go through hell. It's not easy to be a major league ump. You know, we don't have the same problems that the NBA used to have and maybe still has for all I know in terms of umps actually throwing games, right? As far as I know.
Right. There is
baseball
that,
does,
there's that
is
big
sacred.
Scandal in basketball
oh my
where,
God.
Where they were fixing games. Point
the guy,
shaving.
What's his Ken? Whatever the name of the guy. He's, I'm sure he went to prison. He might even still be in prison. But he said 100% of them. 100%. That's what he said.
Man.
Now, granted, this is a man that's drowning, and he's probably just going to try to throw everybody under the bus with him. But even if it's half that, that's insane. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't think baseball has that problem. And maybe a little bit of public oversight might help. But I do not think that a digital strike zone or any sort of like earpiece in the ump's head, or a red light to indicate a strike, a green light to indicate a ball. I don't know about that. In fact, we were having this conversation at the game.
Right, we were.
And this salty old timer in front of us just turned around and he said, "Too far." And I agreed with him.
Perhaps, but
too far, sir.
But
he was offended.
But your idea of mounting a camera on the mask of the umpire.
Oh,
I would love that.
That's for
view.
Me. That's for the fans. Yeah.
Well, for the fans, but it would also be very educational for everyone involved to actually be able to see what an umpire sees.
100%
behind the catcher, because I guarantee you, it is a totally different view.
Look, that's my ultimate fantasy. My ultimate desire would be that umpires wear HD. Cameras on their helmet. They won't even feel it, because I want to see that. I want to see that angle. That's one angle we don't ever see in baseball.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the on field angle in football, I guess, like behind the QB, which they used to do in the XFL,
the
short lived XFL.
The short lived
XFL. And they had
XFL.
The best camera angles, and the NFL still can't figure it out.
The NFL did adopt it. There is that flying cam that exists.
Yeah,
they
in replays, but
it's underutilized.
Like live action.
It's underutilized. For sure.
Exactly.
It is an awesome field action camera that gives. A view that so very few people actually get to see.
But exactly. The umpire cam would be amazing. And this has nothing to do with balls and strikes or criticizing umpires. This is just for me as a fan. Like I want to see that
but
angle.
But it can be.
So you were saying that you thought that
Well, this is my secondary thought, was to have some sort of augmented reality visor inside the umpire mask for that home plate umpire to be able to track the ball and or the strike zone. He'd still be able to call, indicate balls and strikes, and manage the game from behind the plate, because that is the best place to do so.
You mean as a helper?
Yes, as an aid for
an aid.
For the umpire, the home plate umpire, to more clearly see, more easily see this fast moving baseball coming towards him.
But as that salty old gentleman in front of us said, too far. That is way too far. And by the way, the umpires are not going to adopt that. They're not going to be happy with Google Glass in front of their face or anything obstructing their vision. And then like an earpiece or some kind of buzzer.
Nothing,
hey, that was a strike. You should call it a strike. You know, no. It's never going to happen.
Nothing obstructs the umpire's view more than the face mask that's already there. I'll
no,
tell you that.
His eyes are completely unobstructed.
They're not.
Yeah, you know, a baseball, like you, as you said, is three inch diameter, right? So they got it. They have little eye. You know, your eyes aren't that big. You just need a little slit right there, and you're okay. You can see right through it.
There's still a lot of blind spot that it creates, and those bars can obstruct the view. If you flinch, if you move
right.
in any kind of way, you might miss that pitch crossing the plate. Well, Where exactly did it pitch? Did it cross the plate in the strike zone? It would be nice to have a little bit of visual aid right there.
And this is why they don't hire you or I or any asshole off the street. They hire guys that have done like Division I college for 25 years, you know, or guys that have been doing it their whole lives. Anyway, perhaps so,
but let's experiment in the lower leagues. Let's experiment in the college, high school level to see if it works.
It's gonna be terrible because all these kids that play that are they gonna come to the pros and they're not gonna know what the hell's going on because they have pitch clocks, they have digital umps, they have all this new stuff. And then they come to the major leagues, and it's like, oh, well, what the hell is going on? You know, it's totally different. No, I don't know about that. They already have some of that stuff right now, pitch clocks. And anyway, that has nothing to do with the fact that I wish they had cameras. And then they could pay or charge extra, whatever. I'll pay it. I don't care. I want that angle. Give me that angle, please. And it's not going to obstruct the umpire. He's not even going to know it's there. If they can put a camera on a, you know, an 8-pound falcon and have him tour around Africa and give me those images, they could put it on the face mask of an umpire who's carrying like 60 pounds of gear anyway. Anyway, that's just for me. That's just for the fans. It would really spruce up baseball, if you want to say it that way. I just used air quotes. Sorry, you can't really see that on the radio. But
bad radio.
Right. It's speeding up the game, blah, 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 trying to appeal to the younger generation, blah, blah, blah. No. But you can appeal. You can kind of do both. You can appeal to the people that love the game and maybe the kids that want to see some high-def, super live-action video. It would make baseball look a lot more exciting. You know, they used to do that on Rockin' Jock on MTV. You remember that?
Yeah, I do remember Rockin' Jock.
The things
yes.
I loved about Rockin' Jock were that they had the home plate camera. And I swear to God, man, watching Mike Piazza hit home runs from essentially the umpire or the catcher's view was amazing. The catchers would wear cameras. And this is 1994. I mean, come on. Their technology has improved. Oh, my God.
By leaps and bounds.
You can fit HD cameras in the tip of a pen nowadays. I mean, come on. And seeing that grainy footage of the ball just disappearing, just launching out and disappearing like a golf ball. That was just, that was exhilarating. Totally that was exhilarating.
It was.
And honestly, it would still be nowadays. I'm just saying. Anyway. Sorry. Going off on a tangent there. We got to cut this episode a little bit short. We're going to answer last week's trivia question, I guess.
Trivia questions. Yes, trivia. We have a good trivia question that no one did anyone respond?
I have Sandy SLO.
All right. So well, before we get to Sandy's guess here, just remind everyone we have one player left in the major leagues who played at Candlestick Park.
Hard to believe. Only one player
remaining.
Only
one player left.
One
active player. It has been 18 years since Candlestick Park closed. 19 years since Candlestick Park closed. And
For baseball. Right.
So who is that player that is still active as of today in the major leagues?
So we have Sandy SLO. So I'm assuming that's San Luis Obispo. Hey, we got Central Valley coming in. That's good. There we go. Sandy says, Bartolo Colon.
Bartolo Colon.
That's a good guess.
It is. He certainly has been in the league long enough, but sadly, no, Sandy. Bartolo Colon never actually pitched in Candlestick Park.
Really?
Really.
Now, that narrows it down for me. I feel like I...
Right.
Well, I feel like I know the answer.
You might.
Beltre?
Adrian Beltre, indeed.
Sorry, no, there was no other guesses. I don't know what's going on.
No other guesses?
I got excited because I felt like I actually really knew this one.
Right, yeah. Adrian Beltre is the answer. He will be retiring at the end of this year, is the word.
He got his 3,000 hits. He's sitting pretty.
So now no longer will there be any active player.
So Candlestick will be officially retired.
Officially retired. No more active memories playing the game. Adrian Beltre actually hit .440, went 11 for 25 at the stick.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
doing pretty
damn good. I guess he liked it there.
I guess so.
What do you got for me this week?
This week, as I alluded to earlier, involves Christian Yelich, MVP Ooh. Candidate.
MVP future.
So you gave us his stat line a little bit earlier, but in brief, Christian Yelich is the second player to have 100 RBIs, 30 home runs, 20 stolen bases, hit for a 300 average, and score 100 runs in his first year with a team.
Wow.
Who was the other player?
There's one other player.
One other player to have such a impressive stat line in his first year with a new team.
Really? Repeat the stat line one more time, because that's a bit of a mouthful, but that's pretty impressive.
100 RBIs.
100 RBIs. 100 or more.
100 or more. 30 or more home runs.
Jesus.
20 or more stolen bases. 300-plus batting average.
Ooh.
And scoring 100 or more runs.
Wow. If that's not the MVP, I don't know who is.
That is an impressive stat line.
I have a first year. Okay.
First year with a new team.
I have an idea. Do you have an idea? If you do, you know where to find us. BaseballShowPodcast@gmail.com.
Facebook @ West Coast Bias Baseball.
Leave your answer. Podomatic website, you know where to find us.
Yeah, true.
Just get it going, okay? Come on.
Give us a guess. This is not
It's not easy, but it's not that hard. It's not that hard. Well, I don't know. I don't know the answer. I have a couple guesses, but I'm thinking one really old and one's relatively recent, but we'll see.
Well, we'll see, and you're going to Seattle tomorrow, watch some American League Baseball.
Yes, I am.
Safeco Field.
If you're in the Seattle area, come say hi. I'll be in Section 220.
And when we talk to you next, we'll be right in the middle of the postseason.
I'm getting too old for this shit, bro.
B-L-A. Just gonna play me off, you know, like that.
That's right.